Is. Oje da daring aso ten muka shugar da ten laundry ki ten ngol da chuje so gor ver wa ngol chuba chuba da laundry tawa shin yin ten bi chu laundry ge laundry tawa shin yin ten bi chu se ya de ne laundry ki tusun jawa da da ti chu se ngol chuba chuba jong de ge shin yin ten chu ten du gor zaris mar ba laundry tawa shin yin ten bi chu ten ne lo je da jang yin ba wa de le an ne gar so gor ten ne lo je da jang yin ba de la Chibu chungu da tumu yu laji rinpa da, din da tumu yu laji rinpa da, chibu chimbi laji rinpa as, wadi karishu gari. Da langchungu tuyanda dhuta wadi lehdi gusaris, maribay.
So we've entered the explanation of this root text of the lamp for the path to enlightenment by the great master Atisha. And we've entered the part where we've gone over guru devotion or dependence upon a spiritual friend. And we see here that it's where it says, I pay homage with great respect to the conquerors of the three times. Here this is not only an expression of homage and an offering of homage, but also the reference to the guru devotion or dependence upon a spiritual friend in this first stanza that is relative to all of the other Lam Rims. So when we speak of the Lam Rim refers to the stages of the path for beings of small capacity, the stages of the path for beings of medium capacity, and the stages of the path for beings of great capacity. So here, when we speak of the path itself that is illuminated by this particular text, and who we must depend upon a teacher to ascertain, we're speaking of these three levels of the stages of the path.
Oje ta sanje ge chuse de ma de su na jibu chungu da chungu ha chungu da thumo yu la je rin ba ding ha ding da thumo yu la je rin ba jibu chimbi la je rin ba sum du ne gres sanje ge chuk ngol ma du ba ina de sum du je ne gres.
So if we were to abbreviate all of Buddha's teachings or to categorize all Buddha's teachings, we would find that they would all go into these three categories: the teachings shared in common with beings of the small capacity, teachings shared in common with beings of medium capacity, and the great capacity practitioners, or the great scope. So all of these scopes encompass the Buddha's teachings, all of the Buddha's teachings.
Oje da de ne son de candes de son un gua de candes na de ne ane nga so nga so ge du ngel ga bu yo ma res nga so ge du ngel de ka ne ane nga so la da me de za de ru de nga so lo yo ba yin na ga bu yo wa res ane sa ji ge ren ba ta mo de le nga so ge du ngel de ka ne de ru lo ya ge ane la ge ren ba ta mo de yin wa res wa de ru lo ya ge ane chue de la ngo tu chue so go ba da wadil jibu chungu, chungu, chungu haa, chungu da thumu yu laa, chungu da thumu yu laa jiri baas, wad tisi guwa res.
So when we speak of stages of the path, and we speak of the small scope, or the teachings shared in common with beings of small capacity, this refers to a practitioner or a being who develops a dislike or a desire to definitely get out of the lower realms of suffering, and desires to be reborn into the higher realms of the gods and the humans and so forth. So this type of practitioner devotes all of his or her efforts to being able to be reborn into the higher realms. And this type of being is called a being of small capacity or small scope. And this falls into the category of the preliminary practices of the Dharma, which are necessary for other stages. So this is the stages of the path which will allow a practitioner to relinquish rebirth into the lower realms, and this is the small scope or the small capacity.
Oje ta de ne ka ju gore chim chung de ka ra su gore na tu shi ro su gore ba sen te ze shi ra ge ne ba chung re s de yin du le ane ka su gore lu nga yi su ge de ba la de ne 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 su l che gore ne su l che nan ji bu yo ma re ne su ge de ne nga ga bu me nga su l ta ne ane la da me yi de za za ane tu ya ge ne ta shi de ji ri ta shi de de jao ru ji len de su a de yin sa re s jao ru na len de ane nyabu toshu tsonu kundi shaadang jiya, wadani jiwa ina nga sungu dunga kaa ne dhinru, lhaa dhambalindu kuzharis.
So the being of the small capacity recognizes the limited capacities of the mind that he or she has, and recognizes that there are three doors of the body, speech, and mind that one can create virtue or non-virtue with. And then this type of practitioner recognizes that the accumulation of non-virtue or misdeeds through the body, speech, and mind propels him or her into a rebirth into the lower realms. So he or she then looks for a method to abandon the causes for rebirth into the lower realms, and recognizes that that method is by having a firm and stable refuge in the three jewels, becoming familiar with karma and its effects, or actions and their consequences, and practicing confession, or and practicing confession combined with the four opponent powers. So this type of practitioner tries to purify the misdeeds which will lead him or her to the lower realms, but does not go beyond that scope.
Ane chandru dan lende nyansu len dengan dale cebu chungu seguaris. Ane chandru dan lende nyalen de cebu tingge nyansu len gre, thime bagai nyansu len gre, thijen bagai nyansu len gu yasan ane chungu dan thumu yasan basu otis.
So this type of firm person has a firm resolve to be reborn into the higher realms, and wants to become a god or a human in his or her next life. And this has a very firm and stable resolve to achieve these results. So the negativities that he or she must abandon in order to produce the higher rebirth results are abandoned. And then this person becomes familiar and stable in refuge and the law of action and its consequences, or karma and its effects. But this does not mean this is an exclusive practice of the being of small capacity. These topics also must be practiced by beings of within the medium scope and the great scope, or beings of medium capacity and great capacity. And this is why these are called teachings shared in common with beings of small capacity, because they are shared in common with the medium and great scope as well.
Oji dang asu dandang asu mei denzon tu ne yoris ane jema yang asu hada mei denzon tende ne jwa le yang de bo yo ba ina wati ju de sanji ge song sa to su nyang le je go ris to su nyang le je ba ina lai ji wa yong go re hal je to go re mel je to go re s wati song du go sa ris.
So if we desire to have this type of rebirth into the gods and the human realms, then we must practice what the Buddha has taught as the method to achieve those results. At this moment, we have this human form, but we must utilize this human form to practice what the Buddha has taught to be able to achieve this form again and higher.
Jibun din sikin dike da dine jibu chungu luku san lu tuwa riz. Da dine ngansungu dungel tanayan jiga mudu. Kuyu dungel mata na karji na midan lal jiba ina jiga na chi dungel dan sheya dan otu zukunga lo ladan mula yugu wa riz. Ku dungel ji dungel, juyu dungel, cheban duji ji dungel otu suli ngaban juwane. Ani bi ngaron jibu taba zang tu na nyabi san lu yukin dile jibun din sikin wa riz. Narun jibo tabatang tu na nya besang lu yoken tel theme ba jibun ding la go res mar ba.
So the next scope is the medium scope, or beings of medium capacity. And the medium scope and the Hinayana path are synonymous. If you have a medium scope, you necessarily have Hinayana path. If you have Hinayana path, you necessarily have medium scope. So they are synonymous, are mutually inclusive. This medium person of medium capacity is a little bit higher than the being of small capacity, in that they do recognize the downfalls of the rebirth into the lower realms, the suffering of the lower realms of hell, hungry ghost, and animal, and so forth. But they also recognize the suffering of the higher realms and recognize that even the humans and the gods have the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, the pervasive compounded suffering, the suffering of birth, old age, the suffering of birth, aging, sickness, and death. So this type of practitioner wishes to renounce all of cyclic existence and notices the downfalls of every realm of cyclic existence, and then desires to definitely get out or become liberated from cyclic existence for him or herself alone, not focusing on others, just focusing on him or herself. So this type of practitioner who wishes to definitely get out or renounce cyclic existence altogether or renounce the six realms altogether is called a being of medium capacity or a Hinayana practitioner. So the being of medium capacity wishes to renounce or definitely get out from cyclic existence, the six realms of cyclic existence altogether. So he or she then recognizes the necessity to become familiar with the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering, the truth of origin, the truth of cessation, and the truth of path. And this type of practitioner abandons the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, abandons the actual origin, and then practices a path which will lead he or she to nirvana or to liberation for him or herself alone. And this liberation is induced by practicing the three higher trainings, the higher training of ethics, the higher training of concentration, and the higher training of wisdom. So the medium capacity practitioner relies upon the Four Noble Truths, the two of the truths to be abandoned and the two of the truths to practice, and then practices that in union with the three higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom to achieve their final goal of liberation.
Oje tatane kashugore tatane dunge kashugore dunge demba kunju demba tege ane dunge to suk ngalo ju kunju la den jon du wares kunju ta to sona denzi la den jon du wares marbe denzi denzi tege ane denzi tege chun na demba ju banzi demba ju banzi ndi wares te lo lo shi re te yong ge nyu mo je le sa ne ro ri ju ndu su ko du wares marbe tatane ti nyebo ane chuno deba ma ruba dube laji deba su marba deme dube laji deba de to nyale je waris chuno deba ma ruba dube la de ge denzil ne nu waris denzil ne yo du denzil ge dabu nyo mo ta le dunge kale ge nga ha si sir.
So this the medium capacity practitioner recognizes that suffering is actually caused by the grasping at true establishment grasped at the idea that things truly exist or are truly established from their own side. So the being of medium capacity then applies various antidotes to this wrong consciousness or this mistaken view and arrives at the assertion that things do not truly exist, things are not truly established, and that arrival allows the person to lessen the grasping at true existence, which causes the karma and afflictions in the first place. So the medium capacity practitioner and their true paths are the true paths of recognition of the lack of true establishment of phenomena. So once this takes place and the practitioner recognizes this in more and more subtle levels, more and more subtle levels of the grasping at true existence, which creates the negativity in the first place, are eradicated. We can find in Aryadeva's 400 verses a quote that speaks of the initial stages, the medium stages where one, the initial stages where one achieves merit, the second stages where one achieves release, and the third stages where one achieves excellence. And here, this refers to the three scopes. The first scope referring to a person who has recognized that he or she must abandon misdeeds accumulated through the body, speech, and mind, and abandon particular things in order to not be reborn into the lower realms and to be able to achieve the rebirth into the higher realms of existence of the gods and the humans. Then the medium, being of medium capacity, recognizes the downfalls of all six realms of cyclic existence and then practices various antidotes, such as recognizing that things are not truly established because they dependently originate, and then this formula and familiarization with this lessens the grasping at true existence and then eradicates the afflictive obstructions and allows that being to eventually become a foe destroyer, or allows that being to be liberated from cyclic existence altogether. But then there are still imprints of the actual afflictions that are left over, or the obstructions to omniscience that are left from the actual afflictive obstructions. So it's the imprints of the afflictive obstructions are still hanging around. So the being of medium capacity does not have the ability to have omniscience and complete Buddhahood. So then the being of great capacity engages in various practices, making a union of method and wisdom and achieving the mind that aspires to enlightenment or bodhicitta, and practicing the five Mahayana paths and the 10 bodhisattva grounds to be able to eradicate those obstructions to omniscience or the imprints of the afflictive obstructions in order to achieve complete omniscience in Buddhahood. So this is the difference between these three scopes, or these three capacities, whereas the first renounces the lower realms, the second renounces cyclic existence, and the third wishes to renounce not only cyclic existence but free all sentient beings from that suffering, and that being can do so because he or she is omniscient, because the obstructions to omniscience have been eradicated. So here where it says, understand that there are three kinds of persons because of their small, middling, and supreme capacities, I shall write clearly distinguishing their individual characteristics. And in the Aryadeva's 400 verses, this is where we can find the parallel stanza that means exactly the same thing, where they speak of gaining merit, striving for release, and achieving excellence. So now we've arrived at the medium capacity, or beings of medium capacity. And that's the fourth stanza, where it says, those who seek peace for themselves alone, turning away from worldly pleasures and avoiding destructive actions, are said to be of middling capacity. So those who seek peace for themselves alone, turning away from worldly pleasures. Here, worldly pleasures speak of worldly. Here in the Tibetan says sipi, which is more of cyclic existence pleasures, pleasures of cyclic existence. So this is speaking of turning away from the pleasures within the six realms of cyclic existence. So here, this is and avoiding destructive actions. The destructive actions here are the cause of suffering in the second noble truth. So when we look at the four noble truths, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin, the destructive actions themselves are the truth of origin. So one needs to abandon the actions and the so forth in order, the negative actions and so forth, in order to be able to achieve the peace itself. So that type of being turns away from the happiness of cyclic existence of the six realms because of recognizing that those worldly pleasures or cyclical pleasures of cyclic existence are imbued with the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering, and the pervasive compounded suffering. So he or she then seeks to renounce them or turn away from them. So turning away here refers to renunciation or the desire to definitely get out. So that person achieves, wishes to renounce the six realms of cyclic existence and then achieve for themselves alone liberation or nirvana. So here peace refers to liberation it's also called in Sanskrit nirvana. So this type of being is called a being of middling capacity or a being of medium scope. So he or she avoids the causes of the suffering, which are the destructive actions and so forth, as well as the mistaken views which cause the grasping at true existence. And they turn away from cyclical pleasures of cyclic existence in order to achieve liberation. So this is the medium capacity in a brief explanation of stanza 4.
tatne gelan rimba gende ba du des sibi dela majaji son du sambi chabas sanlu chaba san think chaba think event sanlu chaba khu de wala machaba sibi dela majaji machabas sambi chaba khu de wala machabas lalen karje karnyalen je gurisna deba bungures anyalen lalen chaba deba bungures dumbi chaba kar gugur wat Tabatan to Nanya Basanlu Kendele and a German disagrees.
So, in Genla Rinpoche's commentary, it seems like there's a very abbreviated explanation of this stanza. There's not quite a lot written about it. And basically, where it says turning away from worldly pleasures or turning away from the pleasures of cyclic existence, turning away here, Genla Rinpoche means that it's changing the mind's view. Towards these pleasures, or making it the opposite of what it was, is more literal. Making the mind's view of these pleasures the opposite of what it originally was. So Genlam Rinpoche's commentary says that. So then what needs to be done? And what needs to be done is the avoidance of destructive actions. And the destructive actions here refer to misdeeds. So avoiding the misdeeds. And why would one do that? What was the reason for doing this? And it would be to achieve peace for themselves alone. So Genlam Rinpoche's commentary just basically gives a brief explanation of turning the mind or making the mind opposite relative to pleasures of cyclic existence, abandoning misdeeds, and in doing this for the sole purpose of liberation for oneself alone.
Talama sibi dela macha samoje da khuy dewal chaju mare chabaje ju mare khuy dungel macha ba ngaban ju ne karin yana je gurusna khuy dunge de ju kala tene ju marasna le da nyomo bu kunju la tene ju yo res le da nyomo bu kunju moya ga tashi je gurus wa de dibi le se de ba jambal ko ju mare le ji kunju de nyomo bu kunju de ba ko gurus.
So there's another commentary by the Dalai Lama where he says that this particular line, turning away from worldly pleasures and avoiding destructive actions, is abandoning the pleasures of cyclic existence. So abandoning those pleasures of cyclic existence and avoiding the destructive actions. And here talking about avoiding the things which cause the karma and the afflictions, so which are the root of cyclic existence. So here, avoiding destructive actions also refers to turning away from those actions which create the karma and afflictions which are at the root of the unpleasant states of cyclic existence in the first place.
Lujuala Saji Ni Jirwa Taba Dunij Lujibas Taba Dunij Lujiba Taba Dubi Lanji Raji Tela Papa Saji Ni Jirwa.
The Selpo Yanjir Laura Saji Ni Yere
Saji Ni Taba Dunij Lujibas and Nanjunga Samba and Nanjunga Samba.
Okay.
Nanjunga Samba.
Ne
Kuali Sizrang Dungel and Gabanjone Taba Dunig Lu Taba Dunig Lu Dele.
There's also the explanation within the Lam Rim that says that there are two facets to this. The first facet being the desire to definitely get out of cyclic existence and achieve liberation. And there's that idea of renunciation that takes place. But then what follows that renunciation or desire to definitely get out is the second part, as described in the Lam Rim, which is what is the method one must practice in order to achieve liberation after one has renounced cyclic existence. So what practices must one engage in order to achieve the results of the first section
어제 가서 그래 타바 되니 로제 바세 들라 사지 네 고아시 동에서 뭐든 수수 동에서 뭐 사진이 되는다 고아지 제단 고아기 동에 동에를 산다 비추지 당 수수 동에 예다가 동에 메이 동을 하이 동 수수 수수 동에서 사진이 사진이 누었어.
And then there are also two explanations where it says looking at the suffering of oneself has and the various types of suffering one has to endure, and then also focusing on the other types of suffering of the six realms that one would have to endure. Looking at the suffering of the hell, looking at the suffering of a hungry ghost, looking at the suffering of an animal, looking at the suffering of the demigods, of the human, and looking at the suffering of the demigods, and looking at the suffering of the gods. So here there are two sections as well.
Ta kuwa shi yi dunga samba tala ngayba mebi nyeba, ngoba mebi nyeba, lue yang na yang tun du yi nyeba, ye yang nyesang ju yi nyeba, ye yang tume tun ju yi nyeba, zhu mebi nyeba, pichi sachi kaze du.
Hakome, this is Sarpa.
Ngayba mebi nyeba, ngayba mebi nyeba, ta nga zu rerin la shan marwe. Ngayba mebi nyeba, ngoba mebi nyeba, lue yang na yang tun du yi nyeba, ye yang nyesang tun ju yi nyeba, ye yang tume tun ju yi nyeba, sachi tun sen dun du, dun, dunga sang ju dun.
So here there's an explanation of the sufferings of cyclic existence divided by seven. So here is an explanation of a division of seven. This is just going to take a moment. This is new information.
Mm-hmm. Taba tene zambu dega maris. Ha tuzo, ha toba tendel chiba yina le mazuba dega degeris. Le se sona ya, nga sona maji unga ke. Nga ba yo maris. Wate, chiban dini dega dega santangu waris. Ha tama yi tenza toba tendel tuba yina ya, ko kuyo yi tenza yin sa shenche tala, le ta nyomu bi jingwa jenre, tene yo maris. Ko mataba njune, yang do nga cha unga.
Okay.
Nga ba mebi nye basu utisigus.
Okay, so the first type of suffering refers to the type of suffering that is thought about when referring to gods and humans and higher realms and so forth. Medium scope practitioner first recognizes that it, because of karma and afflictions, the beings who are abiding in those states are unstable. It's uncertain how long he or she will be able to abide in the states of the higher realms, because cyclic existence is always moving, and that being will have to fall to the lower realms. Once the karma loses its power that placed him or her into that state of the higher realms. So the first thing that a medium scope practitioner thinks about is this cycle, and the fact that even a god and a human will have to fall from grace and will have to experience suffering because of that fall.
Tā ngā su mali chā chā pa yinā yā tā nā kar su kore jī gō kī anī pāzhīn sāṅ rā tā, lē rā sāṅ rā tā, tā su lē ngā pa yō mā rā sā. Khu tā tā jī mā rī nā yā tā su kā lō, gō tīn lō nā, anī tō pa tā su kā lō yā mē pa chā nā kā lō sā, ngā pa yō mā rā sā. Kho sā tā pa jī yō pa yinā yā, lē rā tō pa jī mā yinā yā, yā kū chūn chū nā sāṅ rā yā, hō tā rā yō mā rā sā.
We can see this uncertainty or instability even in our leaders or presidents or people who were previously famous, who achieved a certain level of fame within the world and were recognized by all as being famous and wonderful people. And then at some point in time, that presidency ran out or something happened to their character and they were no longer in that particular state. So we can see the uncertainty or momentary nature of these things even within our own world, or the uncertainty of things even within our own world. Uncertainty of status is the literal translation. Uncertainty of status.
Oji, ta ngazul cha ja ba in sang sang ngazul ji bu yong guo res, sang sang ngazul du ge yong duwa, duwa ji bu yong du ji bu kuo tene de gu duwa, yang kuo du ge cha yong duwa, du ge cha de yang duwa cha yong duwa, wo kuo tene yo ma, nga ba yo ma re ji bu ta.
See, there is no certainty of status even within our own states. We might want to have happiness, and then even though we really want to have happiness, the next moment we're suffering. And then we're suffering immensely, and we think it will never end, and then suddenly we have happiness again. So we can see even in our own lives, even though we didn't predict the unhappiness or unpleasant state, we're suddenly caught up in it and want to get out of it, but are kind of out of control and don't have a way to get out of it because it's because of the karma and affliction. So we can see the uncertainty of status relative to our emotions, even in our own lives.
Yang zobu chi to she zobu chi yu yang zobu sabale chine dua yu maris dua yu maris lu yang ne yang don du yin bas.
So the next part is the need to constantly abandon bodies. So we're constantly, I remember now, we're constantly having to abandon the bodies. We have a human's body, then that human's body passes, and then we have a God's body, and that God's body passes. And so on and so forth. So we have all of these bodies that we take on that we have to abandon. So the next type of suffering that the medium scope practitioner or being of medium capacity thinks about is how many bodies have to be discarded again and again in cyclic existence. So if we were able to take all of the corpses that we have had since beginningless time and pile them up on top of each other, they would be taller than the entire world. So a medium scope practitioner, a practitioner of medium capacity, thinks about this.
The
next is the birth again and again. The recognition that if the causes for cyclic existence are not abandoned, then birth in cyclic existence will happen over and over and over again. So the next part that this type of being thinks about is recognizing if he or she doesn't abandon these causes, then rebirth will inevitably take place, and it will not be able to be stopped until the abandonment of the causal factors for cyclic existence. So then the thought of rebirth again and again and why is the next step in that the medium scope practitioner thinks about. So it's the recognition that if these things are not abandoned, then one will cycle in the cyclic existence of suffering. So it's the recognition without abandonment, there is suffering, there is cycling, there is six realms of cyclic existence and rebirth. The next part is that within cyclic existence, desires are insatiable. So no matter what, we desire happiness like all other sentient beings desire happiness. So if we find something that makes us happy, we'll wish to do it again and again. For instance, if we find that tea makes us happy, we will put this tea and we will continue to drink it and we will never be satisfied and we will never be fulfilled because cyclic existence is insatiable. So it's by the meaning of this is finding something that makes us happy and indulging in it, but never really finding that happiness we're seeking out, or never really being satisfied. There is no time that one says, well, I think I've had enough happiness now. That's enough. I'm satisfied with the amount of happiness that I have. The desire is always there to feel better and better and have more and more happiness. So here, this is the next part. So the order we're giving isn't the exact order you'll find in the text, by the way. So we'll get to all of the numbers for sure. So the next is that we will for sure have to experience the peaks and the low and all of the lows. Meaning that we will be born into the highest level of cyclic existence, and then we will fall to the lowest level of cyclic existence, and this will happen again and again. So it's the thought that no matter what status or how high of a status we achieve, we will also achieve the lowest status possible as well. So the next is that we will not always be surrounded by Dharma friends. We will not always be surrounded by good company. So we might have company that engages in negative actions and misdeeds, and by hanging around with that sort of company, then we ourselves too will engage in these sorts of misdeeds. And if we hang around with a spiritual friend or a Dharma friend, then these are usually beings who are wishing to abandon the things that negative friends are engaging in. So the likeliness of meeting with Dharma friends is smaller and than meeting with those who engage in negativities. We can find this explanation in the great treatise on the stages of the path, as well as liberation in the palm of your hand. The Dao Jitu, the Lei Dan Yong Mong, the Dapa Drogre. We've got six. Sorry, there aren't seven. Sorry about that. I counted six too and said we don't have seven. So here, there's also thinking of the suffering of the lower realms, and thinking of the suffering of the higher realm. So thinking about the suffering that one endures as a hell being, thinking of the suffering one endures as a hungry ghost, one endures as an animal, but then also thinking of the suffering one endures as a human, thinking of the suffering one endures as a demigod, and thinking of the suffering that one has to endure as a god. So it's thinking of the suffering in these two categories, the lower and the higher realms. So, first, one begins with the suffering of the hells. One thinks about the hell realm and the suffering of heat one has to endure in the hell realm, as well as the suffering of cold. And it's thinking that when one has to stay in the hell realm, and when thinking about, for instance, the hot hell, one has to live there for many, many kalpas, or many, many eons, in fire. And it's fire very similar to the fire that we know of, and has to live inside of that fire for many eons. So it's thinking about the amount of suffering that one would have to endure if he or she had to live in a fiery place for eons. And then the suffering of the hell, of the cold hell, is very similar to being frozen in ice and having to stay in that frozen ice for many, many years in a very cold place. So this is the suffering of the cold hells. So the suffering of the hungry, when we think of the suffering of the hungry ghosts live in a very dry place, a land where there is no water and no food that they can get. And they're constantly craving these things, and they have mouths the size of a pin and throats that are knotted up that don't allow food to go down, and stomachs the size of mountains that are never satisfied. So hungry ghosts have all of these characteristics physically of having pinhole-sized mouths and knotted-up throats and very big stomachs. But there is no food or water for them to get, even though their stomachs are so large, and so they are never satisfied. And they wander looking for these things their whole lives. So they have to endure these kinds of suffering in the hungry ghost realm. And sometimes one hungry ghost mother would have 500 children, and it would be very painful. So they have to endure these types of sufferings. And one thing I forgot is, even if they were to be able to put food or drink into their bodies, it would immediately turn into a fiery lavic substance that would burn them and scorch their throats. I forgot to translate that from before. The Yanjar Suranam. So, and then the hungry ghost, for instance, when we see the moon, the moon would have a cooling effect on us. But a hungry ghost, when there is a moon present, is scorched by the heat of the moon. Then the Nima Tramodue.
Nima Tramodue. Gungal Tramuro. Gungal Tramu Indi, Daogu Tramuro. Nyama Shaundi, Nyama Tramuris.
So, and then the sun itself is very cold. So in the summer, when the sun comes, it's a very cold feeling on them. So they never get to experience a pleasant feeling relative to environmental conditions. So, and even if there was a tree there that we might see that was very full of fruit and apples and so forth, a hungry ghost would see that same tree and see a very dried up plant or tree that was barren. So and if they arrive at a lake, they wouldn't necessarily see a lake, they would see sand. So then, if they were actually able to see any sort of watery substance, it would turn into pus or blood. So they would see pus or blood. So then we move on to the animal realm, and many of the sufferings of the animals we can't even see, but we can see, for instance, the fish who have suffering, the fear of constantly being eaten by a larger animal. A fish is swimming around in the ocean and constantly being scared that a larger fish will come and eat him or her. So the fear of being eaten or killed by a larger animal.
And
we can see that with mice and cows and deer and various other animals, that even those animals have to be scared that a larger animal will come and eat them. For instance, tigers could come to eat deer and so forth. So they also have the fear of being eaten by a larger animal. And then the animals don't have a large level of intelligence. They're full of ignorance. So the human realm is a little better, but we can see that we still have these sufferings. When we are born, we have to endure the suffering of that birth, the process of that birth. As we age, various things happen to our body, and we have to endure the suffering of the aging. We get illnesses and disease and sickness and have to endure the suffering of that, and then finally we die. So we can see that even as humans, we have all of these types of sufferings as well. We have no independence. If we don't want to age, it's beyond our control. We're going to age. If we don't want to get sick, we have no choice. That's beyond our control. We will get sick. And we have no control over when we're going to die. So we know that we have these types of sufferings and can see these types of sufferings in the human realm.
So And
we have to be separated from the things that we like, separated from the pleasant. For instance, if we live with our mother for a long time, our mother will eventually die and we will be separated from her. If we have a child, the child might die before we do and we have to be separated from the child. If we have a car, maybe that car gets into an accident and is destroyed and we're separated from that car. If we have a house, maybe the house catches on fire and we no longer have that house because of the fire. So in the human realm, we are constantly being separated from the things that we find pleasant or things we desire. In the human realm, we can see so many types of sufferings with the tsunamis and the earthquakes and the tornadoes, and sometimes entire families are wiped out by one weather condition or environmental condition. So we can see these types of sufferings as humans. And then we have to meet with the unpleasant. So bad things, unpleasant things to see or hear or experience, we have to meet with them. We have no independence from those events. So we will have to meet with the unpleasant. We will have to meet with bad things that we don't wish to meet with.
Achieve
the pleasant is quite difficult. We might have a certain kind of work that we would like to do or certain things that we would like to experience, but we don't have the ability to meet with the circumstances to achieve these things that we desire. So we're constantly not being able to fulfill our desires or to fulfill our wants because it's not possible to achieve them. So being of medium capacity thinks about these things over and over again and familiarizes themselves with this over and over again and then achieves the state of renunciation or the desire to definitely get out of cyclic existence. So yes, it's necessary. We have to engage in work. We have to do these things. But we can think of things like this while we're working. And we can make a union of our work and our practice itself. So we can establish or we can achieve the renunciation even though we're still having to interact with the world. So we shouldn't say, oh, we're just going to discard or throw everything that we have away. We need to still work and still do these things that we would normally do, but combine our Dharma practice with our work.
Demigod. ane ko demi gadi la danyandu dene demi gadi sikende beji la chowa tuzu yinjire la chowa nga batu chowa tuzu demi gadi la waris ane la showa tuzu na tuzu tune ane kuzu la showa tuzu chadu chadu chowa waris
So the demigods have all of the same kinds of sufferings that human beings have, the suffering of birth, suffering of aging, suffering of sickness, the suffering of death, the pervasive compounded suffering, the suffering of change, the suffering of suffering. The demigods have all of those types of sufferings that the humans have, but they they're considered the poor gods or the poorer types of gods. So they're constantly jealous of the higher realm gods or the actual beings that we call God's realm beings. So they're constantly waging war on the gods, the higher realm gods, because of their jealousy. So they're experiencing all the regular sufferings that a human has as well as the jealousy because they don't have all of the things that the higher gods have. And they're constantly at war with them.
What the demigod the Bujakashi in Lai from La. La Jubangamba to the demigod Lamaris, Lanan Jubangamba, what to the Golo Lamais, Laguaris, Isil Haris, La Duja to Suris, La Duja and La Duzin, and of course Gisea and Dua Kanguser.
So here in various texts, they're called gods or lower gods or the poor gods. They can be considered a type of God, but they don't have all of the qualities or enjoyments of the higher realm gods. So this is why they're called demi gods in the actual wording. So there's in the Abhidharma Kosha by Basu Bandhu, there's an explanation of all of this. And it doesn't exactly seem to align with science. So science says that we can't find Mount Meru, we can't find any of the things that are explained in Basu Bandhu's Abhidharma Kosha. But the explanation there is that there's a Mount Meru and then there's a tree. And at the bottom of the tree are where all of the Nagas actually stay. And at the middle of the tree is where these demigods kind of hang out. And then the top of the tree where all of the leaves and the fruit are where the gods abide. And the gods have all these wonderful fruits and so forth. And the demigods are very jealous because where they stay, it's barren. They don't have all of the fruits. So they're constantly waging war. Because of this jealousy that they don't have all of the things that the higher realm gods have. So you can find this explanation in the Treasury House of Knowledge by Basu Bandhu or the Abhidharma Kosha, where the explanation is given of Mount Meru and a tree and the gods having all this fruit at the top of the tree and the demigods not having it and fighting. So there's all kinds of wars taking place because the Nagas, or the snakes, they can is also translated as, Nagas believe we're at the bottom of the roots, the foundation of the tree, this is our tree. And the demigods say, well, we're at the core of the tree, we're at the trunk, we're at the main part of the tree, so this is our tree. And then the gods say, this is our tree. So there's constantly wars going on between them because of the uncertainty of who really owns the property. So, but there's some explanations where demigods are considered gods or inferior gods, And then others where they're not God's explanations.
Mm. Demigod, demigod.
Then
Debila, Zokangla, Zumigla,
Sun. Okay. So the demigods are considered to be within the desire realm when we speak of the three realms. But when we go to the gods realm, there are three realms that the actual gods can abide in: the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm. So the desire realm gods are higher than human beings, but they have similar types of things that we do, similar attributes as us. So in the Abhidharma Kosha, once again, it says the gods abide in the moon and in the stars and in various places. But the scientists have gone to see if there is life form or human form on these planets and can't seem to find it. So here we find a contradiction with the scripture and scientific point of view. So the scientists believe that a star is fire, is on fire. But it's okay, because we can find all kinds of explanations by the Buddha that were taught to capacity or taught to scope, where there weren't necessarily that seemed to be contradictory, but were more of stages or graduated stages instead of contradiction. There are times when Buddha asserted a true self, truly established self, and other times when Buddha asserted the lack of a truly established self. There were times when Buddha asserted the lack of true existence, and other times asserted true existence or true establishment. So, or an I or ego. So we can see that in all of the Buddhist teachings, there seems to be these contradictions, but they're not really contradictions. There's a reason for them. So there is a quote by the Buddha that says, "Do not listen to the teachings and adhere to the teachings just because I am the Buddha and I said them. Like a piece of gold, you should cut it and rub it and burn it for accuracy." So here, the meaning is the Buddha said, what Buddha meant by this is if there was any fault in anything that he taught that did not match up with logic, then it should not be adhered to. Like when buying gold, if someone were to buy a piece of gold and not cut it in half, it might just be sand coated with gold. It might just be gold filled with sand. There would be no way of knowing unless one cut it. And unless one performed all of these other tests on it, one wouldn't know if it was truly gold or not. So likewise, Buddha stated that the teaching should be looked at in the same way and should be analyzed and should be, logic should be used, and anything that was illogical or faulty should be disregarded and not practiced, and one should use their own intelligence and not just blindly follow the teachings of the Buddha.
다상 다정 단당 아주데 오마 바제제진 로노브리스 오마 탄주와 제제진 로노브리스 산제게 산자빈도 따와데 산제게 송요와리스 최카시 내바 두버리스 카시 내바 마루버리스 뉘제 두즈 내바 두버리스 돈이 내바 두버리스 따바 군다 내바 마루버리스 산제게 송버리스 인 산자빈 따와도 산제게 송요와리스 다 오마 베데바 이나 데 장드르스 네 장드르드 제고리스 산제게 송이나 차바 마주스
So, Buddha, we usually adhere to the view, or use the view of the Madhyamika Prasangika, or the middle way consequence school. But there are other tenet systems that Buddha taught and asserted as truth as well. For instance, in the Chittamantra system, within the tenet systems, or the mind-only school, the Buddha asserted that certain types of phenomena were truly established and others were not truly established. Buddha asserted that compounds were not truly established, but emptiness was truly established, or truly existent within the mind-only school. So we can see these differing views even within the tenet systems, but we don't say that they're mutually exclusive because they build upon each other. And there is a reason why these things were asserted by Buddha, which seem to be incorrect, but were taught for a purpose. So we can see differing views even in the tenet systems. So the Vabhashika school, the great exposition school, for instance, has so many views within it that are completely different than the Madhyamika school. Middle way consequence school. But we don't say that that's a non-Buddhist school. We say that that is a Buddhist school. So we can find differences in the other tenets, such as the Sutra school or the Sautrantika school or the middle way autonomy school, the Madhyamika Svatantrika school. We can find differences in all of these views relative to the Prasangika view. So when we look at the ultimate view of the middle way consequence school or the Madhyamika Prasangika school, we'll see that all of these schools, from the great exposition school up to the middle way autonomy school, have differing views than the highest school. So the reason that these teachings were given, or they were given by Buddha, is Buddha was teaching to the scope of the vessel that he was teaching to. So there were certain types of beings who had more of an affinity for and more comfort level with the great exposition school or the ideas within the great exposition school. So Buddha, because of his all-knowing mind, taught them that particular system of tenets. And then there were others who were more comfortable with the Sautrantika school, so Buddha taught them the Sautrantika school. There were others who were more comfortable with the Chittamantra school or mind-only school, so Buddha taught them that, on and up to the Madhyamika school. So Buddha recognized that different beings had different scopes, and each vessel needed to be prescribed a different practice. So this is why he gave all of these different views that seem to contradict each other. Very similar to a doctor. A doctor would not give somebody who had diabetes medicine for tuberculosis. So this is why Buddha prescribed certain practices for certain kinds of people who had different kinds of affinities or different kinds of emotional makeups. That's probably the most literal translation.
Mm. 안 산질 쉬버리스 산질 되네 쉬드르 네바 두바레 다도 두바레 쉬디 산질 네바 두바레 다 송
So the non Buddhist schools assert this they have this very very firm resolve in that things are truly established or truly exist so when they went to Buddha and asked him are things truly established do they truly exist or are they not truly established or not truly existed? Buddha said to them, oh yeah, they are truly existent. They truly are established. So he answered them according to their own view. So then these beings said, wow, this Buddha is the real thing. He's real. He must be omniscient. So then they began to also like Buddha and develop faith within Buddha. So slowly their wisdom increased through this process and eventually they became Buddhists. So if one looks at the Buddha Dharma like this, then one will not see mutual exclusion or will not see these things as being mutually exclusive. So the being of medium capacity recognizes the downfalls of cyclic existence, recognizes the suffering of all of the other realms that he or she isn't even in, and then develops renunciation or a desire to definitely get out because of the fear of the suffering of all six realms. So the more one thinks about the sufferings, the more one establishes or achieves the realization of renunciation. So there's the coarse suffering and the subtle suffering. So if one thinks about the coarse level of suffering, then one will have a coarse level of renunciation that wishes to definitely get out of the coarse level of suffering. So if one then wishes to renounce the suffering of suffering and then has a desire to definitely get out, for instance, of the suffering of suffering and does various things, then he or she could be achieve rebirth into the higher realms. So maybe if anyone has any questions, we have about 10 minutes for questions and then with dedications, and then we'll be right at 12. Yes, sir.
A few part quick question. In the demigod realm, is there more war in the demigod realm than in the human realm? First part. Is it a different type of war? And if a demigod dies in the demigod realm from war, will they go down to a lower realm?
Okay. The Hlamayi. The Hlamayi Danhla, the Majagdu. Then the me Hlamayi, the Ma Ma Yerebe. Okay. Then the hlama yi ma dang ngatsu ma drapo due. Menda dang kongi chewa.
Ta lha tu zu lu, di chuancha ngatsu ma da drapo ku lha tu zu lu was. Yoris.
Okay, so there's more...
Hal nipa chewa yu. Hal nipa chewa yu.
So there's more war in the human realm than in the demigod realm. In the demigod realm, then I asked, secondly, is the war like the war here? And he said there is explanation within scripture of actual weaponry used between these two forces fighting each other.
And then
So when I was a small child, maybe 12 or 13 years old, we were making sampa. We had no machines at that time in Tibet, so my mother was making sampa by her hands, and I was bringing various things back and forth in order to aid in this process. And then suddenly an earthquake happened, and the human beings didn't know there was going to be an earthquake. We had no kind of way of knowing such a thing was going to happen, but the birds seemed to know. All of the birds in the trees were making a very large, loud calling sound, and then suddenly this earthquake happened and we couldn't move. It was such a strong force. And then immediately after the earthquake finished, the sky became completely blue without a cloud in it, and there was a completely clear sky. And then we saw in the sky an explosion that was similar to a bomb going off. After this chain of weather events in this clear blue sky, and it is said that this was the demigods and the gods at war, and this is what this actually caused. This it was very similar to it was as loud as a clasp of thunder, loud as a thunderclap. But we couldn't see necessarily anything. And all of people in Tibet know this and will tell this story. Nama Jema.
Nama.
Oh, this was before the invasion of Tibet by the Chinese. So it's possible that there were even local deities at war, the Chinese gods, local gods, and the Tibetan local gods at war. So there's a possibility there too. So, you know, or was it the gods and the demigods fighting in the sky? Because that's where they would fight.
So
it's similar to this. War is war. Did that answer all of them? Yes. I don't know if I knew you had three.
Yeah, the third one is just if a demigod.
Oh, that's right. Okay, the demigod, the Xiena, then Dao Jitu La Kaba Jogudu. Same as us. They would go anywhere in the six realms.
But then now, Chuna Lutendus, Lata Lama is then the Duis.
God.
Kul Tida.
Kindakari.
But now, Dama Yoru.
So is this what is said in the Vietnamese tradition, that a demigod would cycle within cyclic existence after death, just like a human? Yes, Adrian.
If all phenomena lack inherent existence, then is it possible that it would follow that the rules of science also lack inherent existence? Would it be possible for those to change based on karma, so that someone could be in a realm where, say, gravity is not the same and there is a mountain or
so they call the Chu Tamche Demba Madrupa Yimba. Then at Dang Sung Sung, the Tsen Ripa Demba Madrupa Yimba. Then Chi Shena, the Tsen Ripa, the Shri Chembo Hakogumari Gangin Sena Konsu Demba Madrupa, and Chi Shena, the Sacha Jenda. The me dan lama yi yure, then the lo yure, and then konsu da tugumare gangin sena konsu le the da tugumare konsu le.
And I'm just thinking that would be a logical, from our perspective, a logical answer.
That makes sense. Then could the Adrian Sampa chishena the tsen jipi le the konsu da tugumare le tsana chishena konsu the ri chembo da tudu.
The
Sanjay Papa Shanchu Sembi Papa Datudu, Hine Susuju Datugumare, the Drabudu. Okay. Saying, yes, it's possible that scientists don't have the karma to be able to see this Mount Meru. I gave the comparison just to try to make sure we were clear on the question of an ordinary being not being able to see the enjoyment body of a Buddha, because an ordinary being hadn't reached the level of Arya, so they couldn't actually cognize the enjoyment body. And he said it's the same. They didn't have the karma necessarily to see it.
Logically, this scientist argument that these things don't exist, the hell realms and whatnot, from our understanding of reality, is pretty valid. But when you take in the fact that all phenomena lack inherent existence, then this would negate that.
Right. Yeah, that's excellent. So we can find in the source of all my good. Can somebody give me a book, please, real quick? I got one right here. Oh, thanks. Okay. So in the source of all my good, we find the line that says, bless me to perceive all that's wrong with the seemingly good things of this life. I can never get enough of them. They cannot be trusted. They are the door to every pain I have. Grant me then to strive instead for the happiness of freedom. Here, this line in the source of all my good, or the foundation of all good qualities, refers to the medium capacity practitioner. So we've arrived in the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, at the section in the source of all my good, which is like the fourth stanza down that we read every time here. So bless me first to perceive all that's wrong with the seemingly good things of this life. I can never get enough of them. They cannot be trusted. So here the desire to renounce them takes place. They're the door to every pain I have. The recognition of their reality creates the desire to definitely get out. And then the wish or aspiration is to strive instead for liberation. So here the happiness of freedom refers to liberation or nirvana. In the medium scope capacity. So that's what's being spoken of here. And someone who wishes to strive for the happiness of freedom must practice the three higher trainings, the higher training of ethics, concentration, and wisdom. So it's good if you can put these two texts together, the Lamp for the Path and the Source of All My Good, and see their similarities. And you can also find it in the abbreviated Stages of the Path by Lama Tsongkhapa, the Lamrim Dudun. We have no rush. We're going to go through this text very slowly.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe we'll do the concluding prayers and dedication.
The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn flowers, adorned with Mount Meru.